The Bible predicts America's collapse. Ancient Israel was promised the land as long as they obeyed the Lord. But if they didn't, we all know what happened. You've probably seen images like this one before down in the southern United States. My question is to you, do you think this could be connected to Bible prophecy and the eventual downfall of the United States of America? So I'm going to start kind of like in an interesting place for you. I'm going to start by looking at ancient Israel and what God told them. First of all, ancient Israel was promised the land as long as they obeyed the Lord. But if they didn't, we all know what happened. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read these words. This was part of the covenant that God gave to Israel. And there we read, I'm just kind of summarizing some of this for you. But however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your ancestors. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher. Uh-oh. And I don't know if you're already seeing some connections here. But you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail, kind of a reversal of what God actually promises Israel elsewhere. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees that he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and to your descendants forever. Now, notice the word forever there. I'm going to unpack this for you in a moment here. But because you did not serve the Lord your God and joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Oh, have we had a lot of prosperity in this country. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth. They will lay siege to all of the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you live will fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, now, this is the covenant that was given to Israel, right? On Mount Sinai, God calls Israel out of Egypt. He calls them into their own land. But he calls them to be a holy people, a people set apart. Of course, we know Israel breaks the covenant. They worship false gods. They fall into all kinds of perversions and immorality and the like. And God judges them accordingly. And specifically, what I wanted to show you today is that God says all the way back in Deuteronomy, this is basically the law of Moses. This is one of the first five books of the Bible here. He says that when you're not obedient to the law that I give you, to my laws, to my character, to my nature, that is becoming of my holy people, then you will be oppressed. Invaders will come in and oppress you. Now, I want to ask again, could it be that what is taking place today in America is the sign, maybe not of the end of the world, but of America? And that this same promise that we see given to ancient Israel extends to those of us living in our own land today. Yes, it's in a global context, but again, America was founded a Christian nation, and today, I think it's not hard to see how we're walking away from that. Having said all of that, many people don't realize that Old Testament prophecy actually saw an expansion of Israel's kingdom over the whole earth. This was the kingdom of the Messiah, Jesus. The Old Testament talked about the kingdom of God in many places, and Christ was seen as the king. I say all this to say that regardless of your eschatology, unless you are premillennial, where you see sort of a future reign of Jesus on the earth before he returns in the eternal state, I'm not of that eschatological bent. But unless you're of that bent, you actually recognize that Jesus is currently the King of Kings right now in heaven. In fact, this is one of the metaphors that we see used. Peter explained this metaphor of Jesus being seated at the right hand of God. Currently, that when he ascended, the word ascended doesn't just mean that he levitated up into the sky. The word ascended actually means that Christ received a kingdom. A lot of times that's what you think of when you hear the word ascension. You use it in sort of kingdom terminology, you know, royal terminology. A king ascended to his throne. Well, this is the idea of Jesus' ascension, that he ascended to the heavenlies and he inherited a kingdom. Now, it throws us for a little bit of a loop because the kingdom doesn't look exactly like we would think that it looks. It's a kingdom in which he is reigning from heaven, yet he calls his church God's army, right? And now here's the kicker. We've been grafted in to Israel, right? And so he's called his people, God has called his people today, Jew and Gentile, to conquer the land, except the land now isn't just a little pocket over there in the Middle East. It's the globe. God wants to renew his original vision. I think this is the scriptural concept here. I recently did a video that you can go back just a couple weeks ago and look, and you can see where I'm connecting the dots between what's called the cultural mandate in Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and Jesus' great commission to go disciple the nations. Jesus' great commission is basically the fulfillment, the thing that the church is doing today when we pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we go out and we plant churches and we evangelize and we do the work of the gospel in the world, the work of the great commission, we are actually fulfilling the cultural mandate. I think this is the idea. Jesus is the new Adam who's taking us forth into the world to conquer in his name. And maybe you've heard the term church militant before. It's just a theological concept. A lot of us just think of church in terms of we go and we sit under a good preacher, you know, like myself sometimes, and we hear a good sermon, but it's more than that. As the church, the people of God, as Israel, we are called to go out and conquer the world for our King Messiah, Jesus. And so this is a very real thing. This has been happening for 2,000 years. You know, we may not realize it because we see negative things happening all the time and our tendency is to focus on the negative. But if you look at the expansion of Christianity, I wanted to show you one place where I think the kingdom is actually prophesized, is talked about, that it's a present reality, and that is Matthew chapter 12. It's technically in verse 28, but I'm going to kind of read everything in context for you here, where Jesus says this. Now, Jesus, in this particular incident, he's being challenged by the Pharisees for casting out demons or devils by the power of the devil. You know, so like, what's going on there, you know? We see here Jesus' explanation for how he was casting these demons out in this episode here. He says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And there's America right there. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. In other words, Jesus is not doing this stuff by the power of Satan. He's doing it under the power of God. How then can his kingdom stand? And if we drive out demons by Beelzebub or the devil or Satan, by whom do your people drive them out? So he's saying, if I drive out devils and y'all are doing the same thing that I'm doing or you're claiming to, then who are you driving them out by? Because Jesus is obviously more righteous than they are. So by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God, here's the key, that I drive out these demons, then the kingdom of God, in bold print there, has come upon you. The kingdom is a present reality. The kingdom of Christ, it was in our midst the day Jesus set foot on earthly soil, you know, at the incarnation. The kingdom of God had come. But then he goes on to say this, and this is kind of fascinating in terms of maybe your millennial view. Of course, I'm going to advocate for either an amillennial or what I believe is a post-millennial worldview here, where we actually see this kingdom growing until the time of the end, where there's a global falling away. The eyes of ethnic Israel will be opened, and then Christ will return from heaven with the trumpet call of the archangel. But he says this, or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions? The strong man here is the devil, who was ruling the world until Christ came. He was ruling the world in paganism and idol worship and falsehood and all these false religious worship and sin and death through all that bad stuff until Jesus came. Unless he first ties up or binds the strong men, then indeed he can plunder his home. The word tied up there is literally binds. It's the same word in Revelation chapter 20 that's used when it says that the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. This idea of 1,000-year reign of Jesus and of the Messiah, actually it's throughout Jewish apocryphal literature. So it's got ties, pre-New Testament ties and concepts that the New Testament and John and his revelation are inheriting and amplifying. And basically, it's just this idea that when Messiah comes, he's going to reign for 1,000 years. We don't think that's a literal 1,000 years, as some have. This is where a lot of times the premillennial camp lands on things. I don't think it is. I think the kingdom of God came 2,000 years ago, and that 1,000-year reign is just a symbolic number for the final phase of history. This kingdom age that we're currently living in, where King Jesus, the King of Kings, is seated currently, like Peter says in his sermon in Acts, currently seated at the right hand of God. He was crucified, he was resurrected, and then he was glorified, and he sat down at the right hand of God. So this is an important scripture, because I think it shows us that the kingdom of God is a present reality. It's just one. There's lots of other ones we could go to. This is something that was prophesied in the Old Testament and so on. But now, here's where America fits in, okay? Because, again, we see this whole idea of the kingdom of God. I'm thinking of the parable Jesus gave, where he says that the leaven works its way through the whole loaf. And ancient Israel was going to take over the whole world. We're in the midst of that today. You know, when is Jesus going to return? We don't know. It does appear that there's going to be a falling away right before he does return, because the devil is going to be unbound for a brief minute, it says in Revelation chapter 20. Having said all that, what we see throughout that kingdom age is this, all these nations coming to the knowledge of Israel's God. America was a product of this, coming out of Europe. That we were founded on the principles of the Judeo-Christian Bible and ethic. And it's undeniable. You just study the history of it. In fact, just one little piece of history here. If you actually look into the mid-19th century, the Supreme Court took them 10 years to study whether or not the United States was a Christian nation, because there was even talk at that time. Is Jesus mentioned in the Constitution? Well, indirectly, he is. He's mentioned in the Constitution because it says, in the year of our Lord. The idea of freedom of religion that they had wasn't that we weren't Christian, because the Christianity was assumed. Everybody was Christian. The idea was that the United States government wouldn't give preference to a particular Christian denomination, like Catholics, Presbyterians, or Baptists. And so what happened, you know, even back then there was discussion, are we really a Christian nation? So the Supreme Court studied for 10 years founding documents from the founders of the country. And the Supreme Court decided that, in fact, the United States of America was founded a Christian nation. But when we look at what's happening today, it seems like we're getting away from those roots. Now, again, connecting these dots between ancient Israel and the kingdom of God, this is where I think we can legitimately say that America is, in fact, in biblical prophecy. And no, friend, it's not just clickbait. I promise you, I really believe this. It doesn't say the United States of America in biblical prophecy, but America and any other nation that does not bow the knee and kiss the ring of the King of Kings will come to its demise at one point or another. And so what's the effect of this full-blown rejection of God going to be? We are actually seeing it in our day. Again, news stories like this one right here aren't a coincidence. What do we see taking place in our culture? Now, we don't know if this is the end. It could be. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. He could return tomorrow. He could return 1,000 years from now. I know it doesn't seem like that, but I'm telling you, every generation has had reason and has thought, when you go back and you study history, especially the Christian ones, they've always thought they were living in the end times because of different cultural things that were taking place. The fall of the Roman Empire, the rise of Islam. And I believe this is God's warning sign for this country to repent, because the enemies are at the gates. We see an invasion taking place. And I'm not saying every person that comes into this country is our enemy. That's not what I'm saying at all. However, it's happening on a level today that is concerning even the far left. And so I think that should tell us something. That should say something. Remember, go back to ancient Israel. What did God say he would do when they were disobedient to the covenant? He said he would send invaders in. Now, this may just be the beginning of it, right? Because these are people we're just letting come across our border. There may be armies in there, who knows? But it could also be paving the way for an eventual military invasion of this country. And that's just food for thought. Why is that happening? Because we have walked away from the Lord our God. I want to read another scripture to you. This is Psalm chapter 2. This is David, King David. God had given him this promise of a son that would sit on his throne forever. It wasn't Solomon because he would sit on the throne forever. David understood what this meant. And so he wrote this beautiful psalm explaining who this son was and that he saw this son inheriting all the nations. Not just Israel, but whoever that Messiah was who came down the line from David, he was going to inherit all the nations. And you better watch out. You better be on his good side. Here we read, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The translation I'm used to says, why do the nations rage? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, Jesus, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. You might think about the nations before the coming of Christ, led astray in paganism by their captain, the devil. And they're saying, no, we won't worship the one true God. But here comes Christ into this environment of these God haters, of this anti-God movement. And then we continue to read in verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Again, talking to Jesus. He's the only begotten of the Father. Ask me and I will do what? I will make the nations your inheritance. What is Jesus' inheritance? Is it a lot of money? Is it fame? Is it riches? Well, he's got all that stuff, but it's all the peoples of the world, all the people groups that were led astray from the beginning. He says they will be given to God's one true son as an inheritance. You and I, friends, we are literally, America as it was founded, was literally the Christian nations that came before it, you know, Charlemagne or Constantine or you know, Great Britain at times and these other places. They were literally the fulfillment of this prophecy. You and I are Gentile people, formerly pagan nations that have been given to the Son as his inheritance. It says, the ends of the earth will be your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. We have to tremble at his word today. We're not. We're trying to cast his rule off of us, telling the Lord we don't want him today. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath is quickly kindled. It can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So this is a dire warning for our country today. We see maybe the beginning stages. I'm just going to say the beginning stages of what ancient Israel went through when they were eventually completely overthrown and the land was given to someone else. Again, think of the land as the world. God owns the world. The nation that isn't obedient to him will be cast out of the land. It'll be a foreign oppressor of some kind. And what does it say that a foreign oppressor will be more godly than the Christian nation of the United States of America? How far we've fallen as a country. So a little bit of a dire warning there. There's three things I want to encourage you to do. The first is to pray. Pray for this country. Pray for your community. You are the church militant. God has put you in this world to be an ambassador of Christ. And as God's ambassador, one of your biggest weapons is prayer. Paul mentions it multiple times in Ephesians chapter 6, where he talks about the armor of God. He kind of finishes up that little section there by saying multiple times, pray. Pray for me that I can, you know, bear witness for Christ as strongly as I should, fearlessly, boldly. We need to pray that this country has a revival. I don't know if you realize this, but there have been multiple national revivals in this country in its history. They're called the Great Awakenings. Very quickly, America is becoming a pagan nation. It's not an atheist nation. It's not a scientifically developed nation. It's becoming a pagan nation. An atheist is just the person who's had his home swept clean and left it ready and prepared for seven more demons to enter in. And that's what we see taking place in our culture today, not just in America, but in all of Western civilization. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to witness. Be a witness for God, all right? This has everything to do with your character, making sure you're not behaving like the cultural pagans that are around us, the secularists, the ones who are, you know, running our school boards, our government, who are trying to and have successfully, in a lot of ways, stripped God out of it. We have to worship Jesus as a society. And so bear witness to Jesus upon pain of death. Bear witness to him. He will give you great success. And the third thing I want you to do is to go out and conquer in his name. You see, when you are a witness for God, you aren't just going out there in weakness. Your weakness is God's strength. He has sent you out as more than a conqueror. So don't forget, do those three things. And I think God is going to use you, and he can use you to change this culture. I believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you look back historically at the church, this is why there are still Christians 2,000 years later, because every season of church history, every one of them, they overcame. They were more than conquerors. They were the church militant. They went out and conquered the world with the love of Christ and by being witnesses, even unto death. Read some of their stories. It's incredible. I'm going to leave you with that, friends. Again, America in Bible prophecy, and you had no idea. Not just America, any nation that doesn't bow the knee to King Jesus will be cast out of the land. Hey guys, Pastor AJ here, and thanks for visiting my channel. If you don't mind, I'm going to take just a sec to tell you about Gospel Ministries and our mission to help others experience, demonstrate, and share God's great gospel. If you want, you can pick up some of our merch in our YouTube store to help you communicate that same gospel message. And I'd love it if you would consider subscribing to this channel so that we can challenge your Christian walk through solid biblical teaching as it applies to culture and other issues. In addition to that, you can go to PastorAJ.com where you can consider partnering with this ministry and sign up for my weekly email newsletter. Don't forget, I'm on all other social media platforms at Pastor AJ Platt. One other item that might interest you has to do with a topic that I've studied pretty extensively. It's my book, End Times Mission, that will give you a solid education on the different views of eschatology and, more importantly, your role in Jesus' kingdom while we wait for his return. This book covers the historical origins of popular end times teachings as it guides the reader to Christ's current reign and a post-millennial worldview. Oh, and one last thing. I want you to know that you know Jesus. So if you'd like to, leave a comment or send me a message so that I can help you do just that, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes.